Welcome into this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. This week, I have the pleasure of sitting down with MJ Sherman. MJ, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you guys getting back in the win column last week on the road. How good was that for this team, and how did it feel walking off the field at Purdue with a win?
I mean, it felt really good as a team. We have a lot of team camaraderie, a lot of basically knowing what we can do when we really put our mind to do something. And knowing that, no one can really beat us but ourselves. You know, if everybody's on tune, everybody, you know, checking their boxes of what to do, how to execute, and everything so forth, no one can really beat us but us. So that was really a testament to that.
When you talk about, you know, the physicality and being the most physical football team, how do you guys feel about that? How do you go, I guess, about, you know, approaching that each week and, okay, we want to establish ourselves as the most physical football team?
I mean, once again, it's something that's not new to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be different if we're trying to reinvent ourselves throughout the season, but that's not the case. We've been trying to be the most physical team since the winter, since December, January. You know, that comes in the weight room, that does mat drills, and spring ball, summer workouts, fall camp, and now. I mean, so we're not doing anything that's brand new to us. We're just doing everything that we've been doing for the past 8-6 months. So, I mean, when it comes to being a physical football team, it's just knowing that every day you wake up in the morning, especially on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, that you got to bring your lunch pail to work, and knowing that you got to sacrifice and put your body on the line for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so everybody can buy out and cash in on Saturday. So that's the kind of reap what you sow type of mentality we have, and believing in the process and not really caring about the result, because once again, worry about the small details and get the big rewards coming later.
That's great. You know, you guys have a high standard for this defense. You have a high standard for yourself. How would you evaluate your play so far through, what, 5 games of the season?
I mean, God is good. That's all I can really say. Mm-hmm. I mean, all glory to him. All glory to everybody who supports me and my teammates. And really just, once again, it's a testament to all the work that everybody in this facility puts in, the players that play on the field, the coaches that prepare us, the scout team that help us go into the week, nutritionists, the training room, the physical therapist that's there too, strength conditioning staff. I mean, every single body in this organization, and that go down to the janitors that help keep our locker rooms clean. Every single bit, all a testament to them and how we've been trying to be one of those teams in the nation everybody respects. So it's just that, but once again, for myself, it's just God is good, and I just got to keep working, keep on praising.
Have you felt different, though, this season compared to other seasons in the past?
Personally? Yeah. I mean, of course, but it'll be a shame for me to let my foot off the gas pedal now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How did you go about approaching what you wanted to be, what your role, what you wanted to be able to bring to this defense this season?
It was more so of an approach that I wanted more than anybody else. And that means, no one's going to do the work for me. No one's going to, help me wake up in the morning. No one's going to do all the little stuff and hard stuff for me, man. That's something that got to come within. The coaches, make the jobs on the coaches easier, just having them just coach me the details and how what to do on a certain play, but nothing about effort, violence, discipline, and just aggression. All that comes within. So, just me having that compact and me knowing that as a standard of myself and a standard of this defense, I feel like that's what helped me, approach this season and do what I've been capable of doing. But I'm my own hardest critic, and I know there's a lot more food on the plate, man. I still got to go out there and go get it, man.
When you made the decision to transfer, to enter the transfer portal, why did you land on Nebraska? Because we were chatting before, you didn't really have any ties. So what was it that the Huskers sold you on?
I really feel like it was my one-on-one with Coach Rule and just, talking to him and just telling them that I just really want an opportunity to play. That's all I really care for. I ain't really care about any NIL money or what new car I can drive or what house I can live in or what benefits I might be receiving. I didn't really care for none of that. I just wanted an opportunity to play. And obviously you gotta work for it, but he grants every single one of us the opportunity.
So now that you've settled in here for a little, well, over a year now, was it the right decision? How did you feel about your decision?
I don't regret it at all. I really believe that things happen for a reason, that people move within God's plans, and either they know it or not. And I've been knowing it, and I've just been trusting him and trusting my support staff, and that boils down to everybody who loves and cares for me. So, like, it's like, once again, no regrets. And plus, life would be hell if you live with regrets. So, you know, just kind of just living in the moment, being where my feet is at, and making the best out of any situation I'm in. So that's what I've been doing when I'm here, and I feel like I created wonderful ties and wonderful people and people that I will know for a lifetime.
Absolutely, great perspective there. How'd you get into football?
So basically, in my old neighborhood, when my mom's still there, in my neighborhood, we had this big old yard in the back of our house. And it used to be like we would gather up a big old football game. And that comes from, you know, like older kids from high school all the way to elementary school. And I was always one of the bigger kids in my class. So like we would play like, you know, throw them up, bust them up, pick up game of football, probably sometimes be like 9-on-9 football. You know, one quarterback, 8 receivers, and you know what I mean? We just playing football, like real tackle football too, no two-hand touch, like no pass, tackle football. So like that's where it started. I thought I would be a basketball player for some reason, but I was a little bit too physical for that. Then my best friend Ryan Cannon and my football mother to this day, Miss Pat, they the ones that really introduced me to organizational rec football. And I remember I used to travel with Ryan like a lot to his practices or his football games. And one day I traveled to one of his practices, and it was like beginning of it, like technically their fall camp, you know, getting the start of it. And you know, when the coach looked at me and asked Miss Pat, like, you know, would you want to play football? And Miss Pat, you know, asked that same question to me, and I was like, sure, why not? And mind you, I didn't have any cleats, I didn't have any shoulder pads or anything else like that. I went into the practice, and it rained that day, it was muddy, and it was in the grass, and we started doing these conditioning punishment drills. And when I got home, my shorts and my clothes, my socks and shoes was just muddy and everything like that. There was just dirt everywhere. And my mom, I opened the door, my mom like kind of hollered, like, oh my gosh, what happened? I was like, mom, I play football today. So like that's where it really started. And once I realized that I'm good at it, or you know what I mean, that at that age that I was really good at it, that's when like knowing that this could be a huge change for me, a huge change for my family, a huge change for everyone around me. They say like, hey, if I really hone in and focus on this, I can really be someone that can be remembered. So, yeah.
What a great story. Did you always like to hit? Was it like from that first day, did you like to hit people?
No, I was never really a soft kid. My neighborhood didn't allow soft kids. So, yeah.
So when did that point come? Then you're like, okay, I this could be a future for me.
My first scrimmage.
Really?
Yeah. I made a tackle on my behind. So I was chasing the ball because my mentality was see ball, get ball. And didn't have any technique or anything like that. Really, like I played defensive end, and my defensive end coach told me, my defensive coach told me, like, hey, just run an L. That means run up the field and run so you get outside contain. And I was like, okay, cool. And I made like a lot of plays in the backfield doing that. But like one play, it was just like a little reverse, and I fell. And he tried to run a reverse over me, and I was just reaching him up and grabbing him. And I tackled him for loss while I was still on the ground. And it was just an effort play, of course. But, you know, I got to the sidelines, and mine was my first year really playing football for real. And, like, one of my coaches kind of hyped me up and was like, hey, you know, you see what MJ did? He just made a tackle for him on his behind. You know, like, why everybody can't do that? And then I just kind of like noticed it, like, oh, okay, maybe I like me having an impact, you know, and this is really my first year here. It'd be crazy if I really just put my all into this. So
always defense, though.
I have running back careers and aspirations, and I was pretty good at it too. But I like my knees. I like my knees a lot, so that's why I just said, you know what, I'd rather be the hammer than the nail.
Well, obviously you're wearing a necklace right now. I've noticed you've worn it before. It's a pendant of Africa, the continent. So tell us about that, the backstory behind that.
So basically, my father, Vonnie Sherman, he was a senator of Liberia. Before that, he was a big time lawyer. He had owned a law firm there as well. But my original roots come from West Africa, Liberia. So it was my 16th birthday, and he asked me what would I like for my birthday. And I was like, a nice little crucifix chain, a cross would be nice, He said, okay, I got you, I can give you that. Man. But then when I got the necklace in the mail, it ended up being this. So at first I was confused, it's not what I really asked for. And that's when, more and more I started to wear it, the more I realized it was unique to me. No one really had this chain, or people try to mimic the chain but can't really get the exact replica per se. But I started kind of developing a nice connection with it. This is the first gift, first real physical gift that my dad shared to me. This is something that remembers me, who I am and where my roots truly from. Once again, I've always claimed Baltimore, Maryland until I die, but this is who I am. How I think, how I'm raised, how I'm mannered, and everything else is I'm Liberian to the core. So I might have spent all my years here in America, but I'll never forget where my original roots come back from. So I think that's really important to me, because a lot of people might get lost and not know where they truly come from. And it takes a little bit of learning, but I'm just glad I had an opportunity from a young age to know where I'm from and start developing more of a conscious of, where my roots actually come from.
What part of the roots make you you? How does that play into you and how you are and how you're wired?
I definitely tell you the discipline aspect of it.
Yeah.
Ain't no talking back in my household. just the way we love each other, the way we communicate with each other, the way, everybody asks me how I get so big. Well, I've been eating rice and chicken since the day I was young. So, stuff like that, and also, how big my family is. My intermediate family might be small, but I promise you I could find six, seven cousins across the nation, just randomly, we're a very interconnected family. And that's how it kind of plays into me, how I'm wired. And and I'm not the only one. I know Emmett Johnson, he's the same way. He has Liberian roots. Isaiah Nair has Liberian roots. So it's nothing, out of the ordinary. And also finding that simple common ground and little information between us three, that even made us closer. Cause then once again, we share the same memories from when we was a child, how things were raised. Oh, even though Prince Will, he's Nigerian, but still same thing. How we was raised, what we used to eat when we was little, what our moms used to say when we get in trouble, et cetera. That's really it.
Yeah, Emmett was telling me last year, just with his family being refugees, just the kind of appreciation he has for everything here. Do you find that too? Just again, with some of the turmoil and adversity that I know families have faced there, just understanding the appreciation of what you have here?
Of course. I mean, I'm more so a second respondent to that, in the sense where my mom and my sister, my two brothers, my aunts and uncles and my father, they the ones that experienced that as a whole. And me personally, I'm just a secondhand experience of it. So all I hear is stories. But of course, being a refugee from having a civil war twice, you know, and over like small, stupid political stuff, you know, that could easily be fixed. But the political warfare, the political temperature in there was very, very hot. You know, the political climate was like not too good for that. And so for them to have to make that sacrifice, you know, my mom tell me stories about her and my sister just riding this long cruise back and forth. I mean, well, back to America, and just how like people used to get seasick, you know, sickness, diseases, and that's really where my faith of God kind of comes from. That's where really her faith of God kind of stems from too, because as she said, like it'd be days where bullets be flying, bombs would be, you know, be exploding, and you know, just having that faith in God is, you know, please, you know, protect me and mine, and protect everybody else who are out there. And, you know, for someone who come out there, not necessarily unscathed, but someone who still, you know, breathe, walk, and help take care and raise, you know, my sister and I. That's enough appreciation right there, you know. So like, that's why my mom's a really strong, strong-headed, faithful woman, because of the adversity that she's been through. And it kind of just showers down to her children, my sister and I, in a sense where, like, no matter what hell we might go through, it's always going to be on the other side if we just hunker down in our faith. And, you know, one analogy that we always use in the house that, you know, God will put a door of opportunity in front of you, but it's up to you to put the knob in it and twist it open. So that's our, even though the most hell we can go through, the most adversity we can go through, we just put our head down and focus on what we can focus on and keep praying to our Lord, we can make it through anything.
What an incredible example. What does your mom, what did your mom think of your football career and learning football, and then I guess where you are now playing football?
So my mom didn't know a lick of football, so I'll tell you that much. But her main worry was, you know, the hitting, you know, the physicality of things. And I tell my mom that, hey, I'm built for it. It's really, really, really credits to my football mother, as I said, Miss Pat, because she encouraged her to say, you know, just trust me, you know, MJ's gonna be just fine. And so she trusted her, and I ended up just fine. I had injuries throughout my career, but nothing career ending, thank God. And now she is more so like, she's very in tune, you know, and very like, she's knowledgeable enough where if something happens, she understands. And if she doesn't understand it, my sister and my brother-in-law, they do a very good job of even like informing her, like, hey, this is what happened, or MJ did this, MJ did that. But she knows the difference between when I play a good game and when I play a bad game. And so it's pretty cool. It's pretty dope. I mean, especially, you know, after the games, or if she's not here physically after the games, picking up my phone and seeing the text from my mom, like, hey, you did good, or it's all right, you know what I mean? Just her being my critic as well, like, it's pretty good, because she one of the main reasons why I even play this game.
Oh, that's great. She's here for the Colorado game, right?
She was here for
What'd
the Colorado
What'd
she
think?
She loved every bit of it.
Yeah, she had some fun?
She did have some fun, yeah.
You've mentioned your football mom twice now, Pat. Tell us about her.
She's a wonderful woman. I mean, she did a lot for not just for me, but a lot of my friends, a lot of my football friends, a lot of my school friends. I mean, that used to be the hangout spot at Ryan's house, because that was my best friend and her son. But it used to be the hangout spot, and I mean, you know, she didn't have to feed us. She didn't have to house us. She didn't have to, like, really look mind for us, or take care of us, or even take us to practice when her days were long. But she would drive like 45 minutes to a practice field and stuff like that, wait there for however long the coaches to, you know, keep us, because, you know, youth leagues, they don't have catalogs, so so they'll keep us for however long they can keep us and bring us back and make sure, you know, that we're fed when we came back home. And I mean, she sat down and sacrificed a lot for a lot of children, especially me. She done helped out my mom in a lot of ways that even my mom don't even realize, in the sense where, like, I had a safe haven if my mom was busy. If my mom got too jammed up in work, I always had a place with Miss Pat and Ryan, and that she's basically my second mom. So, I mean, you can call her my godmother, you can call her my football mother, but That's Miss Pat, and I love her like she's my own mom.
Has she been here yet?
She went to the Purdue game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I saw my friend slash brother Ryan, and we had a big hug. But yeah, I mean, that relationship started since first grade. Hmm. So I mean, how long that is now? Like 10 plus years. So,
yeah,
that's been my main home ever since.
Wow. Well, let's circle back now, talk this week. You guys have been so bought into that 1-0 mindset, taking it 1-0. Why is that so important to just focus on one week at a time?
I mean, I feel like it's said within itself. You know, you control what you can control, and that's your effort and attitude of today. Mm-hmm. I mean, that 1-0 mindset doesn't mean just Saturday. That 1-0 mindset means on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and if you even look on a deeper level, that 1-0 mindset means every rep you take is 1-0. You know, you might lose a rep, okay, so what? What's next? You might win a rep, okay, so what? What's next? You know, that mindset is deeper than anything that, you know, it's more so saying, like, stay where you at, stay in the moment, stay focused in the moment, stay present in the moment, and be where your feet is at. And it just propels to everything we do. I mean, I feel like the Purdue game is a great example of that. I mean, 0-0 going into the second half, and the game just opening up. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just amazing what you can do when you kind of – it's a boxing fight. It's a boxing match. Football really is a boxing match. And I can't – if I'm fighting somebody, can't worry about, like, oh, what if he throw the left hook? I got to take my jab, do what I'm trained to do, and fight to the end.
It's always a battle in the Big Ten. Rutgers also receiving top 25 votes, Nebraska too. But when you look at this matchup, what are going to be the keys for the defense? What do you guys need to do on Saturday to pick up another win?
Do what we always been doing, but better. It's every single week. Do what we always been doing, but better. Believe in our standard and hold it high to the highest way possible. Hold each other to the highest accountability possible. Oh, this, like, you know, bleed out for one another, you know, like just basically just doing all the small things right. Buy into the game plan, buy into the process, and just execute your job and believe in what that the man next to you is going to do his own job, you know. So it's like having that Ubuntu mindset, having that what's next mentality. I mean, I can give you this whole spiel, but it's really just that. You know, that's what's going to take for us to win defensively. That's what's going to take for us to win offensively. That's what's going to take us to win on special teams. Just executing our, not just doing our job, but literally executing to the finish. So, yeah.
What's it like playing next to those guys that you trust so much?
I love it. I mean, I love Ty, Nash, Mari, Johnny Bullock, Makai Bayer, Deshaun Singleton, Isaac Gifford, Marquise Buford, Malcolm Harzog. I mean, even the ones who come in behind them, I love them to death. It just feels no greater feeling knowing that you're on the field with a bunch of ballers. And not just that you're on the field with a bunch of ballers, you're on the field with a bunch of your brothers. And people don't understand how great of a feeling that is, because you don't feel that same way since high school. Some people don't even feel that in high school. Some people don't feel that same way since youth ball, you know? And that's something that, man, like, you just can't take enough advantage of it, you know? So, like, just knowing that he knows that you know that I know that he knows that we in this together. And it's like a warrior mentality, warrior mindset that, hey, I'll bleed out for you. I know you'll bleed out for me. Like, I know you're going to, you know, sell out and do what you got to do to the highest capability, and I'm going to do the same. And at the end of the day, we're going to sit here and we're going to gather around this campfire Saturday night, and we're going to look and laugh at each other like, hey, man, we really did it. Now it's time to rinse and repeat again. I mean, it's just a wonderful feeling. So.
I love that. Great perspective, great conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Always
enjoy chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to MJ Sherman for sitting down with us for this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.